Welcome to the Besties with Breasties podcast. Sarah Hall here. I am a certified health and wellness coach, athletic trainer, mom, and breast cancer survivor. I help women overcome their own mind drama to make mind shifts that open up the possibility for their most empowered and energetic life.
And I am Beth Wilmus, author, speaker, and founder of a human investment organization, otherwise known as a nonprofit, called Faith Through Fire. Our mission is to reduce the fear and anxiety that breast cancer patients feel and replace it with hope and a path toward thriving.
This podcast is about our experiences with breast cancer
and life after as young survivors and moms.
All right. So today we're talking about exercise.
Cycles.
I know. Was this new to you, the whole idea of cycle syncing?
Yes, this is new to me.
Okay.
This is very new to me. I mean,
I'm surprised.
I've been a woman my whole life. But like looking back now on my fitness journey, I wish I would have known this in my younger years.
Yeah. So for those of you that don't know what the heck we're talking about right now, today's guest is Natalie Coomer. She's a fitness enthusiast, a functional nutritionist, and holistic health expert that's helping women build strength from the inside out. So her approach goes beyond fitness. She really integrates nutrition, psychological well-being, breath work, nervous system regulation, and menstrual cycle syncing to help women feel more balanced, resilient, and in tune with their bodies. She's passionate about empowering women to reclaim their health and thrive through every phase of life. So today we're going to discuss why Natalie thinks nervous system regulation is the missing link in women's wellness.
Cycle syncing, how aligning with your menstrual phases can boost energy and emotional stability.
And finally, how Natalie blends physical fitness, nutritional habits, and mental health tools into a cohesive strategy. But first, let's hear from our first sponsor. Are you feeling scared, overwhelmed, or lost post-treatment? Do you want to reclaim your life and thrive even better than before breast cancer? Faith Through Fire Survivorship Bootcamp is designed for breast cancer survivors who are committed to living their fullest lives. If you're ready to leap forward, seize personal growth, and redefine your journey, this bootcamp will provide the path. You might benefit from our bootcamp if the excitement of completing treatment has worn off, leaving you feeling unsure about your future. You feel confused by your new post-cancer identity and struggle to accept your quote, new normal. You want to enjoy life again, but feel stuck in a cycle of negative emotions. Or you feel disconnected from yourself, others, or God. Our bootcamp offers a structured roadmap that delves deep into four key areas crucial for post-cancer recovery and thriving. Understanding trauma, cultivating a fighting spirit, managing anxiety and intrusive thoughts, and redefining and reshaping your identity so you can rediscover your joy and purpose in life. You can participate in person in St. Louis or online. To join our wait list, visit faiththroughfire.org/survivorship-bootcamp. Well, welcome, Natalie. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I want to talk about what your thoughts are around the nervous system and what role it plays in women's overall wellness.
So I think I do feel like it plays a bigger role than one might realize, I guess. And as a trainer for a lot of years, and as a person that enjoys exercise and has worked out for many years as well, I felt like there's something that happens when a woman, especially a woman, goes into the gym and works out. So women could be doing everything, quote unquote, right? Like eating to fuel our bodies, lifting the weights, getting our steps in, getting sleep. But oftentimes we're kind of living in a sympathetic state or the fight or flight a lot of the times because of society, because of our responsibilities, lots of different reasons. But if we're living kind of already in a sympathetic state, our nervous system is off balance. So even though our efforts are there, we're feeling stressed and dysregulated. Let me explain this a little bit better. So I think that is one of the reasons why perhaps women feel so frustrated when they're trying to take care of themselves and they still don't feel as well as they might expect themselves to feel with all of that effort, right? So our nervous system is an unconscious, well, I'm talking about the autonomic nervous system, but it's like this, you know, the unconscious part of our bodies that is constantly surveying all the time, like what's happening outside of us, inside of us, our environment, how we're feeling. And when the nervous system is activated by threat, we all kind of do different things, right? So like if you and I, you know, encounter a threat of some sort, I might run away, you might fight, you know, somebody else may freeze, you know, there's all these different ways that we go about responding. But there is a response that we have to threat, and the body is going to feel the same way when we are challenged. Okay. So challenge and threat in the nervous system feel the same. So our heart rates increases, you know, our blood pressure rises, our pupils might dilate. The system doesn't care what is happening. Its goal is to keep us alive, right? And help us survive. So it's an unconscious thing that's happening. All of these things happen, right? So I take a very, like, I'm taking like a threat of something outside of us. Like, I don't know, you know, everybody says like a bear, you know, whatever. It could be anything. But if you take that into fitness and movement, all of these things happen a lot of times when I see women come into the gym and there is something that's programmed for the day, or, you know, I work primarily one-on-one with women, and there's something that I have programmed that is hard for them, right? So like nobody likes the air bike, or no one likes burpees, or, you know, maybe like heavy squats of some sort. The same reaction starts to happen when they might see something that's programmed for them to do on that day, right? You know, they feel it. If you pay attention to it, you can feel all these things happen, right? You know, you get nervous, your breath increases, your blood pressure rises. Like all of these things start to happen when you feel threatened by something or challenged by something, right? So you come into your session, the bike is on the board, your heart rate increases, your breath increases, your pupils dilate. You might have to like feel like you have to go to the bathroom. You're really, really nervous. Okay. And it's what we decide in our minds that is actually happening, because it feels the same way. The threat and challenge feels the same, but we decide in our minds, okay, the bike is on the board. I can either feel or say to myself, oh my gosh, Natalie is trying to kill me today. Like, she knows I hate the bike. Why did she program this? And it starts to feel, the bike itself and me as a trainer becomes a threat, and it feels the same. Or we could start to learn that it actually, what my body is doing is getting prepared, right? Our breath is quickening. We're getting a little nervous. Our blood pressure is going up. We can say, my body is actually rising to the challenge of what it is today. My body is rising and getting ready to take on the challenge of the bike, the heavy squats, the burpees, whatever it is. And so we can look at these things and be able to differentiate between this is a threat or this is a challenge.
So we're talking about positive stress versus like the negative stress of like your nervous system, and trying to rewire yourself to think more like I get to versus I have to.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I was going to say, like, usually, like, everything you described is exactly what I hate when I work with somebody. When I go in and I'm like, oh, they have me doing everything I freaking despise. And my first thought is, I need to use the restroom, because I just want to push off starting as long as possible. I mean, it's like you're describing me to a T. And it's like interesting, because I think that doesn't sound positive for your body at all. You know?
Right. So it's being able to connect to what is happening in your body and deciding, okay, I'm going to take a different attitude, or like this different mental approach to being accepting a challenge versus I am being threatened, because the bike isn't going to do anything to you, or it, you know, it can't. It's a bike, right?
Yeah.
So you're walking in, like, if my client is coming to me, they've made the effort to get to me. They've paid their dues. They've driven to my house. You know, they are there to be trained. But then when something hard comes up, they think that, you know, they can think that, oh, I am trying to really hurt them, or not hurt them, but like kill you in a way, or really give it to you. And it becomes threatening.
Well, I was going to say, here's my question, because like, I'm looking at Jamie because Jamie likes to work out too. And I know many other survivors at Faith Through Fire who kind of have a similar view toward exercise. Like it's like something you look forward to doing. You like the stress. You like rising to the occasion. You feel better. Your nervous system feels better by engaging in those activities. What do you think the secret is then to you having that mentality versus so many of us that walk in and just feel overwhelmed and just know that it's going to be a lot of discomfort and, you know, who can't see the long game, right? It seems like there's a different mindset of those that really embrace this suck and those of us that run from it screaming. So like, what do you attribute that to? Is that just over time and repetition, you just rewire how you think about it? Or is that just something that's innate in some people?
I guess it could be innate in some. I think that's very few people. I do believe it has to do with connection by like breath and connecting to being present in what's actually happening and the difference between pain and suffering, and also not equating our performance, quote unquote, in the gym to anything to our identity as a person. So I think women, especially women, question their ability constantly. They constantly underestimate themselves, you know? And so when they come in and they start an exercise and it's actually ends up being harder or more painful, and I say painful, not like as in causing harm or causing an injury. I just mean like your muscles are burning and your heart is racing and it feels very hard physiologically, right? It's a matter of, okay, this is actually just really hard. Like my body may not be strong enough, you know, yet.
I was going to say, I think one of the benefits to exercise, if I was to find one, as somebody that is trying to embrace it, is that when you're exercising, when you're moving your body, you really are rooted in the present because you're focused on how you feel. You are focused on your form. You are focused on, okay, I got to get through this. It's like, it's the one time that my mind stops thinking about a million other things. Like I don't think about my job or my family or what's going on with this drama or that drama when I'm working out, because it's taking all my energy just to get through the workout, right? So yeah. I do think there's something to that whole being present in the moment and just really accepting what's happening right then and there. And I could see that being really beneficial for women on multiple levels.
Totally, totally. I think it is that being really present and in meeting, like pain is to be met, right? You suffer when you don't accept the pain and you want it to be different. Yeah. Then you're suffering through whatever you're doing. So if you meet the challenge, you meet the pain that you might temporarily have from said exercise, you meet it with your breath, you meet it with your mindset, being really present in it, then it's not the suffering. Then you're not the victim of what's happening to you. You're taking an active role in what you're doing, in what your body's able to do for you right then and there. So I think there, and that takes some time, that takes practice, that takes slowing down, that takes compassion with yourself.
I also think you're speaking to the power of our thinking and the shift in reframing a negative thought into a positive, and how that actually that gets into the cognitive behavioral world and how that informs our behavior over time. And it does become muscle memory to look for the good or the positive in it versus the negative when we continue to reframe and challenge our thinking.
Right. Like I get to instead yeah. of I have to, yep. right?
Yeah.
I also think like as a society, we've been so over conditioned to seek comfort. You know, it's like we live in this society now where it's like we have to have the air conditioning on just at the right temperature. You know, we don't want to be outside if it's too buggy right. out. You know, it's right. like I have to have a really good lumbar support on my chair. You know, it's like we're always constantly tweaking our environment to be at maximum comfort. And I think as a society, we've lost our ability to kind of sit in discomfort and grow from it.
That's where growth happens.
That's where growth right. happens. Yeah. Right. But all the growth happens right. when you're doing the hard thing that you normally you're challenging yourself. So that's kind of what I tell myself to gear myself up mentally to do these things, is just, you know, this is where the growth happens. You have to be willing to be uncomfortable sometimes. And I think just from a psychological standpoint, to your point, Jamie, it's like we see so many women get stuck. It's not even just related to exercise. It's life in general. When they aren't willing to step outside of what they've been doing in the past to try something new.
And to what Natalie said, face it. Like, mm-hmm. look it right in the eye and know that it's hard and mm-hmm. that you can meet it there.
Yeah, and do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. It's like, how do I engage the challenge
yep.
that this workout is, instead of how do I try to endure this threat that this workout has in front of me? And like that simple change of attitude changes everything that is physiologically happening in your body. It's like the dump of cortisol and adrenaline and the stress does not exist. I'm not going to say it does not exist, but it doesn't hit your body so hard when you do engage instead of endure. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, and I think we tell women all the time, we're like, listen, we get it, right? You've been through cancer, you've been through these really hard things, and now we're asking you to stretch yourself more and stretch yourself as a person, and that can feel really unfair. But I mean, it's in your best interest to do it, you know, and nobody's going to care for you. You know, if you want to feel good mentally and physically, it's going to require action on your part. One of the things I kind of wanted to talk to you about, Natalie, is menstrual cycle syncing to help women feel more balanced, resilient, and in tune with their bodies. I had never heard of this. I know several of my friends have, but can you kind of explain how that works?
Sure. So for me, I really found that there was a missing piece to my workouts, especially as I got into my later 30s and early 40s. I would go to the gym and be doing, you know, similar movements. And one day, you know, my heavy squats would feel amazing. And then, you know, 4 days later, that same weight would feel like it was crushing me. And I'm like, I just don't understand. Like a lot of the things stayed the same, my sleep, my nutrition, like what is happening? And I would leave a lot of times feeling really defeated. And so as I learned more about this, I'm actually in a mentoring group with Lou Crenshaw and Chantel Dayton. They're two wonderful, amazingly intelligent women that own a gym out in Oregon. And they've been my mentors it's been 5 years now. And we started digging into the phases of the menstrual cycle and how they really affect or can affect the way that we move our bodies during the month. And so, you know, a lot of women know about either you're menstruating or you're not, or you're ovulating. You know, a lot of women know about those two parts of the cycle. Mm-hmm. There's actually four parts of the cycle, and each phase brings with it hormone fluctuations, you know, what your body is more inclined or craving to do, what will feel good. And let me just say, this isn't black or white. This isn't like, oh, you're menstruating today, you can't lift heavy. Like there's something bad is going to happen to you. It's not that. It's really partnering with and, you know, looking to support it. So like in follicular, right? It's easy for me to think about the four phases of the cycle based upon the seasons of the year. It helps me just remember kind of what they're bringing out in me or out in others, right? Follicular is, so wait, let me back up. Menstruation is kind of winter, right? So it's when we're bleeding, our hormones are at their lowest level. Our movements can feel really like we want a bit of a more connection to our body, more of a flow, not really like heavy, explosive movements there. Those don't feel awesome. Can you do them? Absolutely. Can you run a marathon while you're having your period? Yes, we know you can. At what cost is what I want to say. At what cost, right? Of all of this. Okay. So follicular, that is the phase of the cycle that's usually around 10 days. It's after your menstruation. It's when hormones are low and they begin to rise, right? So I think springtime. So menstruation's winter, right? We're just kind of like, we want to kind of be into ourselves. Follicular's like spring, like all is right again in the world. Like we've made it through our period. Hormones start to increase. We're a little bit more curious here. Our workouts are light to moderate weight with more reps feel really good. HIIT might start to feel better here. Increased durations of workouts feel good. You're like, your body is more inclined to want these things in this phase. Then you hit ovulation, which is like the meat and potatoes of your phase, where it's like 4 to 7 days, usually more like 3 to 4 days. It's like summer. Okay. So hormones are at their peak level. Everything feels good. You want to run a marathon, you want to do yoga, you want to walk the dog and clean the house. Like, you have all of the energy, and that energy should be spent. And so Metcons, group and buddy workouts, you're very social during this time. Intervals, HIIT feels good here too. You're wanting to kind of go for it. And you should during ovulation. You absolutely should spend that energy that you have. And then luteal comes, and that's like fall. That's like when hormones, they're at their highest peak, and then they begin to drop off. And so that's like the end of the cycle. It's like 10 to 14 days. You kind of turn from like being curious and like social to like, tell me what to do, and I want to get it done. Like, I want to check the box, and I don't want to be pushed like in follicular, like, I want to see how many reps I can do in, you know, 10 minutes of this. No, luteal's like, tell me exactly what I need to do, and I want to get it done, and I want to lift heavy weights, and I want to move on with my day. So
that makes sense. That makes sense. So what I'm hearing from you is that, because I've noticed that too, that certain times during the month, it's easier to work out than others. And so I think just knowledge is power, right? Knowing that your body is preparing for a different season, so to speak, and like equipping yourself to know what makes sense for that season will make all the difference in your mental state when you go into the gym.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's not a right or a wrong, but it's like, you just need to know what the intention is of that day. Like, I can, you know, I have two women that walk in. One person is menstruating, only slept 5 hours, didn't eat that morning because they didn't have an appetite, and they're, you know, maybe had a couple sips of water. And then I have another gal that's in ovulation, and she's totally fueled, absolutely hydrated, slept 8 hours. Everything is a go.
The worst is when you get paired with that person and you're the first person. You're like, man, they're a beast. I'm dying.
And it's just that understanding of like, what is there for me to do today? Yeah. What does that look like for me today? And it's going to look different for you the next week or the next day, whatever. But that is, it's knowing yourself. It's respecting your cycle, and it's using it to not only have a great experience while you're at the gym, but that you're carrying that out into the world. That's my big thing, is like, it's awesome that you can lift heavy weights and you can run fast and you can, you know, get up and down off the ground in the gym. But are you carrying that out to the world? Does that help you be a better mom? Does that help you be?
Yeah, the priorities have to be different, right? It has to reflect your true values, not just, you know, not just meeting a metric in the gym.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this a little bit more when we wrap up and where people can find you, but let's do Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News is a fun segment where we read funny tweets by real people or ridiculous news stories.
Boobs in the News, Boobs in the News, Boobs in the News.
Okay, here's your boobs. The title of this is Back to the Future's DeLorean Has Almost Vanished from UK Roads. What? No! Says, where we're going, we don't need roads, said Doc Brown in the Back to the Future immortal words that now reflect the status of the DeLorean. The classic cars are largely consigned to collectors' garages, new figures show. Okay, so like, there's only 303 DeLorean cars left on Britain's road. Yeah, but here's the funny part. This is why I picked this Boobs in the News. Gary's cousin's husband has a DeLorean.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
He has one. And he takes it to the car show that's in Wentzville, where we live, and he lifts up the sides and he gives out little toy DeLorean cars to all the kids during like the little parade.
Oh my gosh. What are they worth?
Like, I don't know. Let's see what they say. They say
Back to the Future was such an iconic part of our childhood.
I know. I was like, what? I didn't even know you could buy a DeLorean, to be honest with you. I didn't even know that was a thing. Mm-mm. Until I found
out.
So
I want to know what they cost.
Okay. So let's see. It said, first of all, they rolled off the assembly line 4 years before the film's release.
Okay.
So I didn't know it was a real car. I thought that the DeLorean
for the movie
was made for the movie.
No way.
Did you know it was a real car?
I don't think I thought that much about it.
Okay, but it said the company collapsed into insolvency the following year, and the cars have since become a collector's item. So let's see here. Oh, it says, okay, here you go. So I guess they're talking about a fully restored version fetches £80,000. So it's probably like $80,000 or $90,000 in US dollars.
So it's really the nostalgia.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
Because, I mean, don't people pay that for cars today?
Correct.
I don't. I don't pay for that for cars, yeah, but people
Broncos,
do.
Broncos, Bentleys, you could spend as much as you want on a car.
I don't understand that. You know, my whole way of getting a car is I go to the lot and I'm like, what do you have on the lot that's like under 10 grand that I can pay cash
not
for?
A lemon, but that I can drive on.
I drove a Mercury Villager minivan for years. I love that thing. I paid $6,000 for it. It ran like a dream.
That's amazing.
I loved it. I would not be in the market for a DeLorean. However, I think it's really cool that they're a real car and they actually exist. So I don't know that there's a boob in this story other than there's only 300 apparently left on Britain's roads. Yeah, that's the... Why don't we have more DeLoreans? What? Let's bring back the DeLorean, people.
Bring back DeLoreans.
I mean, we need more joy in life.
Yes.
More DeLoreans, people. There's your boobs.
Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news.
So we're back. I think you've kind of touched on it, right, that it can feel really overwhelming for women to get into the gym. And it's like you have to blend physical fitness, nutritional habits, mental health tools, now your menstrual cycle. How do we make this not only manageable, but an opportunity for self-care? Like, what do you recommend for women who are maybe listening to this and they want to make a change, but they're not sure where to start?
I would say that I agree. It can, right now, it feels like there's so much noise in the fitness arena, right? There's everything is coming at everyone all the time. And even for somebody who is a fitness trainer, it feels overwhelming. So I would say start with the lowest barrier to entry, right? Like if you are someone that is not very active and you can get out and walk every day and you can drink water, like you don't need to start everything at the same time. Like, let's start and focus on getting our steps, you know, increased. Let's focus on drinking more water. Like the lowest, I tell my clients, and I have clients that are wide range of fitness levels. And it's like, what can we do that will bring you early successes, right? We want some wins, and we want those wins to be early and often so that it builds your capacity and momentum to make further changes.
I was gonna say, how long do you think somebody has to do something before they can kind of stair step up? Like, what does it take to create that habit in your opinion? Because I mean, there's all types of thoughts about how many weeks or months do you have to do something before it becomes something that you want to do instead of have to do?
Oh my God, I'm smiling so bad because it's such a good question. It depends. It depends on the person, but I would say if you're starting out something, give yourself 30 days, a month to 2 months of consistency, not perfection. And that's a huge deal. It's like, just be consistent. You don't have to do everything perfectly every single day. Just be consistent with one thing. And then it will undoubtedly allow for more things to come, right?
Yeah.
Especially a trainer or a coach in your corner, some or support from your family that sees you making these changes and that wants to support you. Like one big good change in the right direction, it adds more to come.
Yeah, that makes sense. Before we find out where people can find you, let's hear from our second sponsor.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of Faith Through Fire. Thrivent believes money is a tool and not a goal. The Gateway Financial Group with Thrivent is local to the St. Louis area and can work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter to you, like family and giving back. Please call 314-783-4214 to schedule a free consultation with one of Thrivent's Gateway Financial Advisors.
All right, Natalie, where can people find you?
So I have a website. It's just my name. So it's www.nataliecummer.com. That's my website. And I'm on Instagram at ncummer. So it's N. And then my last name is K-U-M-M-E-R. And then I'm on Facebook too.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your expertise. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, guys. Until next time.
See ya.
Thank you for being a listener of the Besties with Breasties podcast. If this podcast had a positive impact on your journey, leave us a review or consider becoming a supporter. You can donate with the link in the show notes or at faiththroughfire.org. This episode was hosted by Sarah Hall and Beth Wilmes, audio and production edits by Innovative Frequencies.